Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Padres fall 2-3 to the Angels tonight. Hold on.
They fall 2.
Irish, no.
Where were you when that first inning happened, John?
Okay, a couple of things. The Padres were swept by the Angels. Manny Machado's day-to-day with a hip flexor. He left this game. Dylan Cecil has a couple of more home runs. That's been a problem. And the Angels were 7-21 at home, and they sweep the Padres with a 3-2 win, I should say, over the Padres here today. John and Jim with you on the wrap-up show. The Padres are now under 500. There's a ton to react to, including some pregame quotes from the Padres where Manny Machado said some of these losses could haunt us, and then postgame quotes where Jerickson Profar was like, yeah, we're like in our heads, and we do a lot of things to lose. So make your way in. Grab a glass of wine, maybe just grab the entire bottle. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. Smash the like button, subscribe, follow us on X, at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. I see a super has already rolled in. We're going to start here, a very generous super, Jim, from Nick.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
And very apropos right now. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box if you want to weigh in. Nick with the generous super, starting us off where we should start. I mean, is this team any different than last year? They are now under 500. 32-33, in Nick's words, this team sucks. Swept by Anaheim, losing today 3-2. Opportunities, Jim, again, late. You got a runner at second, nobody out in a 1-1 game, and you can't get him in. That's been the story of this road trip.
I tweeted out, this will be a post-game wrap-up show that Matt Kemp will be proud of. Yeah, this team sucks right now. They all collectively suck. This is a team-wide suckage. Every single one of these players. And Mike Schilt, you know, the messaging from this team, they're delusional. They're an average organization that has no history of winning. They don't know how to win. They are more known for their failures than their successes. They're a team of the last 5 years that is known for collapses more than their triumphs. They are a team of underachievers and overpaid, overpriced guys on the team that don't at all perform. They're a delusional franchise that thinks they're something they're not. And what they are is an average franchise that has never won a single thing. And nothing has changed from last year's collapse to right now. There's a lot of time left to change those things, but at this very moment, nothing has changed. We had the discussion on John and Jim today. Is this team better than last year's team? They're the same team, just with different issues in different places. They're losers. They are underachievers, and they love to tell you, look over here when the house is on fire.
No, you say it really well. I mean, a couple of things. We should start in all seriousness, and thank you, Nick. That's very generous. We're going to get to all these supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to get the custom emojis and badges like Shilty, click the join button down below. In all seriousness, because like you said, nothing's over. They are who they are. They're 32-33. I mean, Manny Machado is a huge I mean, this
the
is
the story,
huge deal.
The absolute
this
story.
This is the only story. I mean, is it going? He was actually playing a lot better the last couple of weeks. Fernando Tatis Jr., for example, is absolutely turning it on right now. It is encouraging. But like, is Machado, who's day to day, is he going to press the issue and play when he's not fully healthy? We've seen that a lot. That doesn't normally mean you're reaping rewards, because when he's not 100%, he doesn't give you the numbers that you need out of Manny Machado. And that's fine. You know, if I were Manny, if I'm the Padres, I would probably, again, like I said with Arise, maybe you give it a day. And if that makes it better, I'm probably willing to do that. I was actually really surprised, Jim, he left the game. Now, Mike Schilt said post game, because he was asked, hey, did he want to stay in the game? And like, Schilt took exception to it. Like, yeah, he wanted to stay in the game, but you know, we thought better for it. I don't know what to expect. I was surprised Manny left the game. I really was, because I thought he'd put his foot down and be like, I'm not leaving the game. My guess is he'll be back in there tomorrow, but my other guess is he's not going to be fully healthy. When you pull up like that, you're not going to be fully healthy in a day. It could be days and days and days. So there's your story. I mean, Manny Machado, who's hit 6 home runs, who's now, again, not 100%. He was already not 100%, Jim, because of this offseason surgery. What impact does this now have on Manny Machado moving forward?
Here's what they should do, but they won't do, because Manny Machado runs this franchise and what Manny Machado says goes. What they should do is probably put him on the IL, because you cannot lose him for an extended period of time. I don't know the severity of the injury. Obviously, we both don't know. But, I mean, you're taken out of the game, and when you start saying, like, muscle strains, to me, that just doesn't signal like you're going to be ready the next day. The thing with Manny, which is, it annoys me, is that he does not like to go on the IL.
Right.
The only time he's been on the IL in the last however many years is because he like
10
to, because he broke his wrist and right, there was no other choice. But I'm sorry, Manny, you don't run this franchise. Even though you're the highest paid player, you don't run the franchise. If you are not healthy enough to go out there, you're done. We are not going to waste you on the bench and take up a roster spot while you're sitting there pouting that you don't want to go on the IL. Now, again, this is all premature. I'm just speaking from past experiences with Manny. But like, if this is enough of a big enough injury to where it's going to really compromise him and potentially get worse if he...
So like worse than an ouchie.
Worse than an ouchie. Like, you know,
no.
Probably towards a no. But if this is closer to an oh no than just a little ouchie, then I'm sorry, you're going on the IL. If Darvish is going to go on the IL for a little mild hamstring strain, Manny's going on the IL for a quad strain. End of discussion. Jim,
I have a better chance of beating Usain Bolt in the 100 in 7 weeks if he's still participating than Manny Machado going on the IL. Now, I think there's a chance he maybe sits for a day. This guy, and I understand, like, some of it is to the detriment, unfortunately. I think he comes from the right place. Hey, I'm not going to sit. I owe it to my team. I'm paid to be a leader. I'm paid to be out there. But sometimes it's to the detriment of the team when he's not fully healthy.
Like, even,
I'm telling you, Jim, even one day is going to be a big deal. If he doesn't play tomorrow, he's going to make that out to be a big deal. Like, they're going to really have to force his hand. Or hold his, you know, tie his hands.
He didn't want to come out tonight's game. He was going back to first base. And then it's like, you know, maybe he did realize, like, I can't do this. But he tried. He tried to stay in there. And I'm not going to dog Manny if he goes on the IL. I'm not dogging Manny for coming out of tonight's game. That was the right decision. And probably the IL, if this is closer to a no-no than just a little ouchie.
Well, Schulte said mild hip flexor day to day. There's no way Manny day to day.
Fucking word, Mike Schulte says.
Well, I mean, I don't think the guy like tore his like right leg off.
No, I don't either. I don't think he's gonna get amputated. But like,
I mean, he'll DH tomorrow. Can we all agree? Let's put it in the chat. What do you think happens tomorrow? Either off, DH, or field. Put
that
in the chat.
Maybe he hustles down the line like he did tonight, try to beat out that double play, because
that's why he doesn't do that.
I know. Like, hey, maybe one time Manny don't hustle. Like, it's okay.
Well,
like,
how many double plays can you grind into in 2 innings? You know, he's thinking, I can't grind into another double play.
Well, he's trying his hardest to do is grind in as many double plays as he possibly can this year.
HBBV, thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, subscribe. If you're here, thank you for the supers. He says he's grabbing something, but it's not wine. as are scary. Okay, thank you, HBBV, for the super chat and your support of the channel. E-Racing with Dale, thank you for the membership. Thank you for the super. He says, so tough to be a Padres fan. Made a trip to Anaheim to support our boys. Anemic offense, just tough to deal with. Let's talk about the offense for a second.
I hope you went to Disneyland, Manny, instead of like this.
I hope
shit.
You saw Minnie or some, or Pluto or whatever.
Hope you saw Mickey Mouse.
Stop. Not tonight. Not yet. Not yet, dude. Let's talk about these last four games.
Okay.
Three runs in Kansas City should have been enough, truthfully. If not, this all goes back to Kolek.
It's all okay, Kolek.
This all goes back to Kolek. And then you score one run on a Machado home run. Okay. You score another run on an RBI single for Machado yesterday. Today, it's 3-0 out of the gates. You get back into it because the Angels look like the traveling circus in the field. I mean, it couldn't be worse in the field. They had, a cacophony of errors. Joe Adell and Wright, the throw to no one, the freaking throw from the second baseman to no one in the eighth inning. I mean, they did everything in their power to let the Padres tie this game up or win it.
Yeah.
So the Padres have been anemic on offense, to E-Racing with Dale's point. I mean, that this is nowhere near good enough. The pitching, truth be told, Jim, has been fine. Even Dylan Cisse, yeah, a couple of home runs. But, I mean, three runs? Come on. You got to be able to score three runs against the Angels.
The Angels weren't on this, like, crazy hot stretch coming into the series.
No, the opposite.
They're on the complete opposite. They haven't won back-to-back games all year long. I don't think they've had one sweep at home. Have they had a sweep this year? Maybe one.
Maybe on the road. They're good. They're quasi good on the road. 14-16.
Because I think the Padres are the only team in baseball still without a sweep. They've been swept twice.
Are you serious?
Though. Yeah.
No, yeah. They've had some sweeps tonight.
No. Like when you like. Oh, like, they win? Positive sweep.
Oh, not
the negative. Oh,
they've been swept.
Yeah, twice. By the Rockies and the Angels.
The worst teams.
I know.
If you get swept by the Yankees, okay.
Yeah. Nothing with this franchise is changing here. And they are a loser franchise. History-wise, they are a loser franchise. I don't know what it's going to take to, like turn that corner officially. But, like,
I think I swept by the Phillies, too, dude.
Oh, that, too, yeah. But, like, the identity of this franchise is built in failure. And it's going to have to take some, like, Herculean effort to get out of the fucking gutter here as a franchise and stop tripping over their dicks all the time. Like, they'll have, like, it's just like, that's I'm sorry, it's a fact. This franchise is not a winning franchise, and they haven't shown anything consistently to prove otherwise.
From Kevin AC tonight.
Oh,
and
God.
Darren put this on social media, Darren Smith. This is Kevin writing, they are confounding even to themselves. Asked if he thought the impediment against teams with losing records was a mental issue, Jurickson and Profar said, I think so. Yes, we do a lot of things to lose. That's your best player, and he is. He's been their best player this year. Agreeing with this line of questioning, saying, yeah, we do things to get in our own ways, which is what we said last year about this team. And what they said about themselves as well. This was supposed to be different. And here we are on June 5th, and it's more of the same.
It is incredible that you have your best player in Jurickson Profar and Manny pregame talking about, like, hey, man, hopefully this series don't bite us in the ass. Maybe it will. And Profar just flat out saying, we do a lot of things to lose games. And, yeah, maybe it's in our head. That messaging to the fucking delusional manager of this team, just white, like, it's fine. Move on tomorrow. We can beat anybody. We can beat anybody. It's fine.
They can lose to anyone too. Our buddy Donate Trip NBC7, is spot on. He just tweeted in response to Darren's tweet. The difference in messaging between the manager and his players is staggering. We've talked about this obsessively. Four times we've talked about this in the last four series where Mike Schilt says one thing and the clubhouse says the complete opposite. And tonight is another example of it. Let's get back to the supers. Murray, good to have you here, man. Thank you for the super. He says five runs, kids. That's it. Not good, Padres fans. Was that in the series, five runs? No, four.
They scored two tonight. They scored two yesterday. Scored one on them. Yeah. Or they scored one yesterday and two on.
No, they scored two yesterday because they got up late. Didn't they make it 4-2?
They did.
They played at some Ron.
By the way, I got a standing ovation to Ron Washington for bringing in a lefty to close out tonight's game. Such a genius move, bro.
I mean, just some like rando, like veteran, like lefty, just to pitch the ninth inning.
Because he's a lefty.
I know, but with a 5-5. Well, what did we say yesterday? I said teams are going to just throw left-handed pitchers because it's in the Padres' heads.
And that's exactly what Ron Washington did. And I applaud him for it, man.
He's like, let's just use a lefty.
You know what? We used our 104-mile-hour.
Dude, that was an adventure.
That was an adventure. But, like, that was probably the save of the game right there when you're facing the, you know, Toddy and Crone.
Dude, Toddy's at second, nobody out. This guy can't hit the side of a barn with his fastball or slider, and he gets out of it.
Blows out everybody. But it just was so – I like, audibly laughed, like, ha, when I saw Matt Moore on the mound to close out tonight's game.
Matt Moore. I mean, that is crazy. Like, 5 career save opportunities, a 5.5 ERA, 0-for-1 in save opportunities this year, and he goes 3-up, 3-down. Ball just went to the infield.
Incredible. Absolute masterclass managing by Ron Washington.
And by the way, we can get into some of the umpiring. I thought that Merrill was safe. I wasn't looking at the glove. I'm like, oh, he clearly beat him. Like, Matt Moore was nowhere near the base first. So I'm like, Merrill is easily safe. And then the umpires get together, and the plate umpire is like, no, he got tagged out. Which, by the way, then changed. When there was a challenge, the Padres had to challenge, and there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. If he would have been ruled safe, the initial call, I think Merrill would have still been at first base. I don't know if they tie it or win it, but I did think that was a significant part of the game there in the ninth inning.
Here's the thing. They're not winning the game if he's safe. Sorry.
Probably not. Eve Racing with Dale, thank you. He says, that's exactly what I'm not a huge fan of, him hustling, rather him be healthy. I mean, it's a fair point. Like, I mean, it's so funny. We have our own rules for Manny Machado. Like, we almost argue against him hustling because the guy has to be healthy. So you can live with the double plays and him not running down the line. But I mean, I'm sorry. Sometimes you're going to have to hustle. You're going to have to book it. Like, today, to stay out of a double play, you should be running hard out of the box. And that's what he did. And unfortunately, that's what got him a hip flexor injury.
I see in the chat from T. Kelly, he said Schilty was on Rome today and said the ass kissing he gave to his players was stomach turning. Who said that? Rome or Schilty? Schilty would never.
I need more on that.
I need more on that, T. Kelly, please.
Does someone have that audio? Does Jim Rome post audio?
He does the new, like, X show.
I know. I wonder if you can listen back. That's interesting. JD Gaucho, thank you, man. He says Angels tried to give the game away. WTF Padres completely. I mean, if you watch this game and the 300 people here live and the people here on replay, maybe you're trying to catch up and you didn't see it, but I'm sure a number of you did see this game. I mean, the Padres were gifted opportunities late in this game. Sixth inning, when they scored 2 runs, shouldn't have been more than one. It shouldn't have been, if not for the defense. The play by the second baseman, he threw the ball away. They gave the Padres an extra out. I mean, you're given an extra run and probably an extra out and a half or two in a game against a bad team. You have to win. How does Dylan Cease lose against whomever the hell threw tonight? Oh, he's a high velocity guy. I don't care. You have to circle this game and say, we need to be dialed in and focused, and we need to win this game. That's what Manny said before the game.
Hey, also, by the way, hey, Dylan, bro, the team kind of needs you, and like, stop allowing home runs and be better. Like, everybody on this team is up for criticism right now. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're no exception. Just because, like, for whatever, I don't know. You got to be better, okay? Everybody. Because everybody right now is shit. Even Toddy with his 4-hit game today. You're in the mix, buddy. Everybody's in the mix. And you are in the mix because of what you didn't do for the first month and a half of the season, which they really could have used you, bro.
What was I going to say? I mean, here's the thing with Cease. You're kind of Mr. Quality Start guy. But again, this is a reason why quality starts are deceiving. Because 6 innings, 3 runs is solid and does earn more wins than losses historically. But against the Angels, if you're Dylan Cease, you got to be better than that, right? Like, in this instance, I'm not looking for a 4.5 ERA from Dylan Cease tonight. I'm looking for 7 shutdown innings. Like, if you give up a run, you give up a run. But I'm not looking for 6 innings, 3 runs. I'm not looking for trailing 3-0 early. I'm not looking for the first batter to homer. Like, you got to be – he's allowed 8 home runs. Would they pop up 8 home runs in his last 5 starts? That's scary. That's a concern. His ERA is still good, 3.51, but it's not elite. It's good. at 3.51.
He needs to be a lot better.
He does. He's been very, I mean, I hate to, the common word here recently is mid, but he's kind of been average here his last three or four times out. LFGSD, thank you. LFGSD Danielle, thank you. Danielle saying, a month ago, I booked today's tickets with my Angels fans' husband and dad. I expected the Padres to spank the Angels. Sad. Dad and hubby were happy. Dude, nobody expected this, Danielle, to your point. I mean, there's no one here. Even when they lost the other day to Kansas City, Jim, we're like, oh my gosh, what a disappointing loss, yada, yada, yada. We're like, well, they're still going to go to Anaheim. What's the worst thing that happened? They went 2 out of 3. So nobody envisioned the Rockies home series either. This is stuff that, like Jim says, this plagues teams that aren't good. And unfortunately, you have to be honest with yourself. Is this team good? The good teams don't get swept by the Rockies and Angels within the same 35 calendar days.
No. And it's like we've had this discussion last couple nights here and on John and Jim, like it's very frustrating to think that this franchise could be let off the hook by making the postseason to 81-81. And what I mean by that is that's not good enough. It's not acceptable. And for the resources you are putting into this team with trades and money and huge contracts, if this team was the Oakland A's, 81-81 would be like the biggest success story in the history of the sport. But when you have the payroll you have, even though they dropped 100 plus million, when you have multiple players on your team making over 250 million or have their contracts in total are well over 250 million, well, $280 million. Okay. You have multiple guys all making $20 plus million on your team, all of them underperforming. You have a general manager that hasn't won jack shit in a decade plus. You're on your, what, fourth manager in the last 5-6 years?
Like, yeah, fourth.
And then there's a real strong possibility that this team's going to finish the year with potentially the same record they had last year and make the postseason. And then we're all supposed to sit here and jack them off and be like, this is the greatest team ever. I mean, it's not. It's like, it's a scary place to be in because you are middle of the pack. But potentially you can get rewarded for it.
Or you can be like the last team in the pack by being the 13th best team in baseball this year. Like that's the worst spot to be. The team that misses out in the National League is like the biggest, like jokes on you team in baseball. The that is the first team out, St. Louis, Arizona, San Diego, San Francisco, you name that team, New York Mets, Washington Nationals, Pittsburgh Pirates. You could argue with Nationals Pirates. They're actually trying to get towards the top half of the pack or whatever after being in the bottom. But you finish 13th or 7th in the National League, you got a lot of explaining to do to a lot of people because you don't get rewarded from a drafting perspective. Not that that matters that much in baseball. You don't get rewarded for being in the tournament, so to speak. You're just screwed. You're just a loser, unfortunately. Like 7th in the National League this year is as bad as it gets. I'm telling you. Because 15th, you know it. Miami, they know who they are. Colorado, they know who they are. Teams like San Francisco and San Diego are scary. They have no clue what they're getting into. Their fan bases, their front offices, their players. They're going down a tricky path where someone's missing out. Out of the San Diego, San Francisco's, Chicago Cubs, whoever misses out is going to have a lot of explaining to do, and there's going to be a lot of accountability. Like Padre Phil here says, and I don't advocate this point, but thank you for the super chat. He says, need to fire AJ now before he sells the future to save his job. Anybody with a functioning brain can see this team sucks and has numerous holes. I agree with some of what you're saying. I don't think AJ probably should be fired now. I really don't.
If this team doesn't make the postseason this year, his time will come at the end of the year. And regardless of what happens, like during the season, unless they lost like 30 in a row, but even then you're just firing Schilt.
Yeah.
You know, like
I don't even know what happens.
There will be no changes until the end of the season. The end of the season is when we can talk about AJ Preller and his job because right now nothing's changing. So there's no point in talking about it. He is the general manager for the rest of this season. Just like Mike Schilt's the manager of this team for the rest of the season. And when the season ends and the dust settles, that's when we can discuss should AJ Preller still be the GM of this team. Obviously, like the leaning towards him he should not be the GM of this team is kind of like where I'm at, but also he's I mean, here's the positive. He's kind of done pretty well with the additions that he's made to the team this year. It's like the everybody else on the team that's not living up to it.
It's honestly, as listen, we're critical of Preller. You're super critical of Preller, but we all agree how could, it's an incomplete on 2024. Dude, 2 days from now, they could be quote unquote playing well, or 2 days from now, they could be riding a 6-game losing streak. Everything changes every day. Yeah. So you can't make some general assessment after 60 whatever games. 65, there's 97 games left. So let's see what happens over the next 97 games. We're going to get back to all the super chats. If you're here, please subscribe. We're here for you, Padres fans, the home of real Padres talk. Please subscribe, and thank you for the supers. We'll get to all of them, we promise, here tonight. We got to thank our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz. We can't do it without Mark. He is in the chat here tonight. We've been texting with him throughout the course of the day and night as well. Great insurance agent. You know it. You know it from us. I've got homeowners and life insurance and earthquake insurance through Mark, and you can too, and he's going to save you money if you switch your insurance, and he's going to save you time if you ever have to file a claim. San Diegan, lifelong Padres fan, lives and dies on these games, folks, really does, and is an amazing insurance agent. You can take it from me. If you ever need anything, he is there for you immediately. If you have to file a claim, I had to 2 years ago, he is there for you. Click the link in the description down below. He's not happy tonight, but he's happy to talk to you about your insurance. Click that link in the description down below. You'll get to his website. Free quotes available online. He does more than just earthquake life homeowners, right? He does renters. He does condo. He does auto. He does it all. So if you support the channel, if you want to save money, I mean, you can save so much money and time if you ever need him. And that's why he's there, because he's an insurance agent. Get in contact with Mark Nimitz. Click that link in the description down below and support our title sponsor for 3 years here on the Wrap-Up Show.
Yep. Email address in the ticker, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to our buddy Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap-Up Show sent you.
Mark, appreciate you hanging out. For our viewers, please click that link in the description down below if you want to support Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance and check in with him on your insurance needs. Murray, thank you. He says at least his dad's college team, is this Oklahoma? Nice. Was this softball? OU?
Did they win today? Did they play today?
I don't know. Is this the college final? It's Oklahoma, Texas is the final maybe of the Women's College World Series?
Sure.
But congratulations, Murray. Thank
you. Congrats, Murray.
Congrats. Carson, thank you for the super chat. He says, what are you guys at with expectations now? I won't change it. Whatever we said, what I say, 85 wins, 84 wins?
Yeah. Like, should we change the word from expectations? Like, we expect them to make the postseason to... Well, I guess that's the same thing. Because I feel like the standard has been, and I talked about it on John and Jim today, the standard's already been set by this team. They are in it to compete for world championships. That's it. That's what they told you. They told you that we expect to compete for World Series. So, no, because they said it. And so, because they said it, regardless of what the record is, regardless of how many stupid moves they make or good, whatever it is, right? How players are performing, the expectations or the standard does not change until told otherwise. And right now, the standard of this franchise has been set by words that have never been met, which is World Series.
I mean, to Carson's like point here, though, it's like we're heading down a path where it's very reasonable to assume a National League team could make the postseason with 81 or 82 or 83 wins, certainly. That's all very possible. Even 80, an outside chance, 80 and 82 maybe is enough. Today, the Padres are in a playoff position under 500. There's a ton of baseball to be played. We're heading down a path where the expectation has to remain to make the postseason, because you don't have to win 91 games. If this was 2001 with one wild card, I'd be like, my expectation is not for them to get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'd be praying for that. But it's not 2001. It's 2024. The National League has four teams over 500. You have to get to the postseason, even when things get bad. Jim, they can lose again tomorrow. It doesn't change the fact they have to figure it out. So they'll be two under. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, this is going to be a roller coaster the next 97 games. They will not bury themselves. Hi, Mike. Thank you for hanging out. They're not going to bury themselves. The National League sucks. I mean, unless they lose, like you said, if they lose 13 consecutive games, sure, everything changes, but they're not going to do that.
I hope they don't do that.
They're not going to do that. E-Racing with Dale, thank you. He says, I know it's not an effort thing, but it really feels like it is to me, maybe. It's like they don't care about disappointing the fans. It's not that. It's not like a we don't care. I mean, if anything, it's like you probably care too much and you get in your head. I don't think it has anything to do with care, desire, want.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
I just think there's a zillion reasons as to why a team wins or loses a baseball game.
Like, you can't be like, hey, Donovan Solano, I need you to be like prime Chipper Jones.
Right, exactly.
Like David Peralta, hey, I need you to be like Shohei Ohtani. These guys are who they are. And what they are is, you know, just average baseball players. Like, you know, I'm sorry, Jerkson Profar is having a fantastic year. He's going to be the starting left fielder in the All-Star game. Over his career, if you look at his career numbers, he is a average baseball player to a little bit above for some seasons for his talent level. It's not a knock on him. That's just who he is. You know, like this will be what, his first ever career All-Star game this year at age, what, 36, making $1 million on a 1-year contract.
He's no way he's 36. Is he?
He's up there, John.
He's 31.
Okay, just kidding. I was thinking of Donovan 31. Solano. Donovan
He's been in the big leagues for forever, yeah.
Donovan Solano's more closer to 36 than whatever it is.
Yeah, but Solano might be 36 or older.
Like, you can't tell these guys, hey, I need you to be, like, better than you really are. Some of them can be, but if they're not, you can't, like, get upset with them for it because they are who they are. Like, if Profar was having a year where he was hitting 265, with like 5 home runs and 25 RBIs and a 720 OPS. Like, are you going to get really mad at Jerkson Profar because he's not putting up the season he is right now? Like, that's probably who that's who he is. And then you praise what he's doing right now because he's completely like overshooting who he really is as a baseball player.
Yeah, 100%. Completely agree. Juan Bermudez, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans, the home of real Padres talk. Plus, thank you for the supers. Great way to support our work. We get to all of them. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, then I saw the first game against Colorado. I say they are too good to be swept. When I saw the first game against the Angels, I said that same thing. Body language was off both series from the start. Body language thing. I mean, listen, I don't like the way they're running the bases. Okay. Like back to back days running into outs everywhere.
I thought they were the best, like first to third base running team in baseball.
Right. I mean, they're running into outs. You're not hearing Schilte talk like Melvin about how the Giants are running into outs and not fielding, but they're running into outs. But I don't know if it's like a body language type thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you lose a game 3-2, it's because of your body language. I don't know if they're as crisp as they've been earlier in the year. Guys, they had help. They've had 20 innings this year that they've quote unquote like lucked into. They had an 11 hit inning, Jim, on this road trip.
I know
that doesn't happen. That's dumb, stupid, ridiculous 1-in-50 season luck stuff. If you're gonna have an 11 hit inning, you can have 4 games where you don't score. That's just baseball. I sound like Manny, but it's true.
And now, having a 2-4 road trip, guess what? You got to start playing better at home, a place that you haven't won all year long consistently. Right.
Their house of horrors.
Which I've said during this road trip, like, this is a big road trip because, you know, you continue to win on the road, then home losses won't be, like, as devastating. They'll still suck, and it'll be like, what the fuck? But at least you have that belief, you're like, okay, we are like a 650 baseball team on the road. You just lost 4 in a row on the road, and you're going back to a park where you're one of the worst home teams in baseball, and now you're under 500.
And you're playing like a sneaky good enough team in Arizona. They're the same as you. Don't tell me, well, Arizona's three games under 500. Stop. No, they're all the same.
The same identical team. Even though you have better talent, same team.
Yeah, identical team. They've won four or five, but they had lost five straight before that. They're the exact same teams. So who's going to go win the series? You know, we're going to find out beginning tomorrow night. Keaton, thank you. This is okay. We could get into this actually in a moment as well. This has nothing to do with Bennett Woods, but he says Bennett Woods are to blame for the shit play of these overpaid bums. Crone has been bad at plate since moving to second. Taylor Swift and ice cream tonight, boys. I don't blame you there. We have to get into the Matt Kemp conversation at some point. Not yet, but no, unfortunately, it's not as simple as that. The media has nothing to do with this. Whether you like media members or hate media members or love shows or hate shows or love Kevin Acey or hate John and Jim or love Ben and Woods and hate this, it has nothing to do with anything. It just doesn't. Sorry.
I don't know if they do or not, but like that, it's Ben and Woods. They're like, no, stop. Then I think they're pretty fair. I think, you know, they know that the position they're in, right? Like they're on the flagship. Okay. They have a job to do. They have
relationships.
We do different things and they do their thing. And there's like, no, if you're going to blame anybody in the media, I can't even think of a name.
Blame Big Rich, TD and Fletch.
Yeah. Those guys are a problem. All right. Those guys are shills. No, there's nothing.
We can get to the Matt Kemp conversation, and we will, I'm sure, at a portion of the next 20 or 30 minutes. While you're here, we need to remind you about a really spectacular company here in San Diego, Finleet, huge Padres fan, San Diego through and through, offices that overlook Petco Park right there in downtown. It's a local San Diego startup. We've been telling our viewers about Finleet for the last, I don't know, 30 days or so. Simple as this, Finleet gives fans the opportunity to own a piece of the potential upside of real athletes. They've got their first athlete. His name is Ashedri Vargas. He's 19. He's one of the top prospects in the Texas Rangers organization. You can support him directly and get paid a piece of his future major league earnings. He signed for very little money and they're raising capital so he can play baseball and focus on baseball year round. Here's the thing. You get to the website by clicking the link in the description down below. And you can find out how you can invest as little as $96. And you can see the potential investment return should Vargas reach the major leagues and then have success in the major leagues. I've told you about Fernando Tatis Jr. He did a deal with a company like Finleet 5 years ago, essentially. Big league advance when he was in the minors, gave up 10% of future earnings. That's $34 million. Imagine if you had the opportunity to invest in Tatis before he was Tatis. Nobody's saying Vargas is Tatis. Nobody can predict the future, just like any investment. But you can invest as little as $96, and then you can find out if you invest more, how your potential return is more as well. So really cool company. I really encourage our viewers to check them out by clicking the link in the description down below and learning more about Finleet and how you can potentially support a rising prospect and get paid a piece of his future major league earnings.
Yeah, the link to their website is in the description below. If you have any questions or want to learn more about them, click that link. It'll take you to this website right here. Everything you want to learn is there for you. We're glad that Finleet's on board with the wrap-up show. And click the link below.
All right, let's get back to the Supers here, and then we can get into any conversation we want, what Matt Kemp had to say about playing in San Diego as opposed to playing in L.A. or Atlanta. Richard, thank you. Says the National League only has four teams above 500, which kind of proves our point, which is like you have to make the postseason. If you're in a league where four of the 15 teams are over 500, how can you not be a playoff team if you're trying to win? So that's the problem that the Padres are in. If the Padres are in the American League, Jim, what's the American League like look like right now, playoff wise?
Much better than the National League. Can tell that's you the that.
Thing. I wouldn't have a ton of hope.
So in the American League, John, the three teams in the wild card, the Orioles are 39-21, Kansas City's 36-26, Minnesota's 33-28.
Yeah, it'd be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees and Cleveland they're both over 40 wins. Cleveland is the story of the season right now. And Seattle's leading their division 35-28.
Cleveland 21-7 at home. But okay, if the Padres were in the American League, and they're not, so we don't have to worry about it, they'd be three games out today of a playoff spot. I mean, three games already. They'd be in trouble is what they'd be. But they're not. They're in the National League. Murray, thank you again. He says his dad went to Oklahoma. Now that he's gone, I stay a fan. Very cool. Makes a ton of sense. And congrats, I think, on the game one win. It's a best of three Women's College World Series in Oklahoma. I forget where it is. Stillwater? I don't know where the hell it is. Oklahoma City. But congratulations on that win tonight. And thank you, Murray. Let's see here. Is this Styles Clash 619? Thank you for the super chat. He says, did the Padres just make the mistake of thinking they'd walk all over the Angels? Curious what their record is versus 500 and below teams versus above 500 teams. They're two games over against teams over 500. They're three games under against teams under 500.
Yeah, this other thing of like, they're not that much better than the Angels. They're not better than the Diamondbacks. They're not that much better than the Rockies.
Sure.
So like viewing them in this lens of the Yankees,
right, they're on the good side and like, the other teams are on the bad side.
They're not even close to the Yankees. They're closer to the Angels than to the Yankees as far as like how they are as a team.
Well, I'm going to try to, okay. So I've got the full 30 team, like, standings pulled up at Baseball Reference, and like entering the day at 32-32, that was actually the 12th best record in baseball, but they're now 32-33. So it's like the 13th or 14th or 15th best record in baseball. But your point is valid. Like, other than like the White Sox and the Marlins and the Rockies, I know you mentioned the Rockies and maybe you say the Angels, but like everyone else, like you can't be like, they got to beat up on the Mets. The Mets are like two games behind you.
Right. Yeah.
You got to beat up on the Nationals. The Nationals are two games behind you. You got to beat up on the Astros. They're all the same team.
There's no beating up on anybody. Every one of these games is going to be tough because
when the hell do they play the White Sox? That's scary.
Oh, God. The only teams you could say they should beat up on is, well, the White Sox.
Definitely okay. The White Sox. And that's in September, by the way. Who the hell knows what that looks like?
I mean, maybe you could say Miami and Colorado, but like, again, you're 32-33 and you're nine games better than the Rockies and the Marlins. Okay. And with the sweep to the Angels, you're like seven games ahead of them. You know, you're not even, you're 12 games behind the best team in baseball. Which is the Phillies, and you're only nine games ahead of the Rockies. So the point is, like, you're closer to the Rockies than you are to the best team in baseball. You're not in any position to go around, you know, whipping it out saying we can take care of these guys because you guys aren't that good in the first place.
Yeah, that's why it's interesting. I mean, Style Clash 619, your point's valid because people often say, like, what do you do against good teams and what do you do against bad teams? And I guess that's fair. There are teams that are good and there are teams that are bad, but who are the Padres? It is true there are good teams and there are bad teams, but who are the Padres in that spectrum? Are they good or bad? We don't know today. We'll know in 97 games. I mean, I can definitively answer that in 97 games.
And it's like,
Padre Phil, thank you.
Like we talk about it just on, I mean, doesn't it feel like they should be better? We said it a lot. Like, I mean,
they
this team
absolutely should be better with the health, assuming health with Machado, Tatis, the acquisitions of Cease, Arise, Suarez, Estrada, Cronenworth success, Profar's success. There, you do feel as if in the National League they should be better than a game under 500 right now.
You're not rolling out the Marlins roster,
no,
or the Rockies roster.
No, it's legitimate.
That's what the crazy part about it is. It's like you sit there and be like, "What the fuck? They should be way better than this."
But here's the thing: I would have said that until I learned that Darvish and Musgrove are out, and now I got big time questions. Even if they're playing well, I have big time questions. So now that they're not playing well and they don't have horses available to them and you're counting on a 23-year-old rookie in Adam Major, which is great the way he pitched yesterday, but you're counting on that over you, Darvish, who's got thousands of professional innings. Like that's a trade-off. That's a drop-off, presumably, in the short term at least. JD Gacho, thank you. He says replay was right. Merrill was tagged out at first. Yeah, it was close. It was a bang-bang play. You're probably right. I tend to agree. I thought it was a nanosecond difference, but he probably was out with the benefit of replay. You're probably right. Matt Kemp, Oh, Matt Kemp. Let me just read this real quick. If you missed it, we're not going to play it, but I'll read it. So Matt Kemp said this on a podcast. Come on, Ben, you have so many tweets. Okay, he said this. Matt Kemp, when I got traded to Atlanta from San Diego, I was super happy because I wanted to get out of San Diego because it was weird. He said more than that, and Ben put dot, dot, dot. I was used to being in LA, and people hold you accountable, especially the media. I was like, I need to go somewhere where it matters. Matt Kemp on the Pivot podcast presented by Fanatics today, Jim.
So if you look at the time of when Matt Kemp was here, he, by default, the Padres, by default, were the second talking point in this city. Because why? The Chargers were still here. NFL is king. Nobody was talking Padres baseball over Chargers.
Sure.
Nobody.
No doubt.
Even before, I think, when was it? Was it 2015 when they announced like their partnership with the Raiders? I can't remember.
Oh, either maybe 2015 or 20 that failed.
Within
Carson. A year. Right?
Yeah. Either 2015 or 2016. Still, doesn't matter. The Padres, up until the time that they left, were always the second team in town, whether they liked it or not.
And it was a distant second.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Right. Especially for a team that had a lot of ownership problems.
Like irrelevant.
Payroll problem. Like they were just, the things they would say about their payroll would be like, fuck, dude.
Yeah. They weren't coming off like a World Series appearance.
No. And nobody cared about you, bro. Because you sucked.
So they made some splashes.
And you were part of the splashes. And you sucked. Yeah. And also, if I'm not mistaken, as Bernie tweeted out, which I remember briefly, if you ever went to an Andy Green press conference after the 2015 year, you would walk into this little room next to their clubhouse. I think they might use that as like a storage room now. And in the far corner, there was a massage chair. Big ass massage chair. You know who massage chair that was? That was Matt Kemp's. And Matt Kemp would often hide from the media to go away in the corner to his massage chair. I do remember, because this is when I first started out in radio, like when I was with Judd and Costa and then Hartman and Costa. A lot of people were very critical of you, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not according to Matt Kemp.
For you to then go blame the media for not holding you accountable,
it's like lame.
Mind-blowing to me. You suck so bad when you came here that you have to blame the freaking media for not holding you accountable.
Is it the media's job for you to perform? Like, oh, well, the media held me accountable in New York, so I was good. But that's so ridiculous. You have a job. You have a responsibility to yourself and your teammates. What does it have to do with if Kevin Acey's at your locker or if, you know, John and Jim are speaking? By the way, if John and Jim was around in 2015, the Padres would have won 99 games, apparently, per Matt Kemp.
Per Matt Kemp, we would have held this team accountable every day. Jeez.
He would have been on the show every day. We would have had him on at 3:30 every single day.
I mean, when they make all these trades and they lose opening day, I think like 12-1 to the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, I think we would have said, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, give me, it's so lame. That's my only word for it.
Lamest thing ever.
It's like revisionist history stuff.
And again, like the Padres back then in 2015 were the distant second team in town, you know? It's like you have to earn people's attention with the NFL in town and everything that was going on with the Chargers at that time, by the way. So like you had to go out there and earn it. And AJ tried his hardest at that time, failed miserably, you know, made some horrible trades in hindsight. And he tried for a quick fix because he knew like we need to win now. Like I need to win now. This can't be a slow burn because we're going up against the NFL. And no one in 2015 knew that Chargers were going to leave a couple years later to LA. but like you got to earn people's attention. And
no doubt. It was a different world. In San Diego, it was a different world because they didn't pre-Chargers, post-Chargers, everything's changed. But Margie, who's like a loyal viewer, watcher, listener, John and Jim in the wrap-up show, but also like trollish, which I'm fine with. But you can't be talking about us, right? Maybe you media guys should try and be harder on the players and coaches. Why not try and see if it works? All we get is criticized for being hard on the players and coaches. So, and by the way, you're here. You're the one like telling us that. So I don't know if this is like facetious or you're
again
alluding to. And it has like, not. By the way, me and Jim could go on the air every day and kick and scream and cry and yell. It has no impact on Dylan Cease's outing.
No,
it just doesn't.
And by the way, we're not in that clubhouse. We don't have credentials. We don't go to the games because we do this for you guys on the wrap up show, which I'm very happy about. I'd much rather be at home doing this for you guys out there than going to that clubhouse and getting the same stupid answer every single time to questions about how they're not playing well and how do you need to improve and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think also what people don't understand, and Matt Camp doesn't understand it either. Imagine, John, Kevin. I don't think, was he covering the Padres in 2015? No. Or he's still covering the Chargers? Yeah, exactly.
He's covering the Chargers.
Okay. I don't know exactly who was covering the Padres in 2015, like on a regular beat basis. Well,
Dennis worked for the Union Tribune at one point.
He did. It'd be interesting to go back.
I don't know the timeline. But I mean.
Anyway, just imagine who. I'll just use Kevin as an example. If Kevin went up, if he was covering the team back in 2015, he went up to Matt Kemp after another 0-for-4 night. His batting average dropped to like 240. His OPS is at like 710, whatever. Okay. Seems like 12 games under 500. He goes up to Matt Kemp and he does exactly what Matt Kemp wants him to do, or at least says he wants him to do.
You're not hitting, man. And this team, like, you're not helping this team.
Like, hey, you're 0 for your last 10. You're not doing well. How do you explain you sucking? Like, what do you think Matt Kemp's going to do? He's going to lose his shit and be like, get the fuck out of here. I mean, it's crazy to have Matt Kemp say those things. He is a delusional former baseball player that had like a middling career and had one really good year at the Dodgers.
The weird thing, you know, Jim, because you were covering it more so then, he was fine here. He was like, just from a sheer number perspective, yeah, the team massively disappointed. But like he had like 100 RBI season and he had like his mid 700 OPS. And that's like, honestly, playing for the Padres before they moved the fences in 100 times. And during this era of mediocrity, like who cares? You know what I mean? Like who cares? Why is he even talking about it? Why is, you know, I mean, who cares? It's like 10 years ago.
I think that Matt Kemp's time here was a complete failure.
Well, yeah, because people expected, well, probably more out of him, but they expected more of the team. Like it was sizzle, not it, like they expected, like, or it was sizzle, not steak. All the freaking winter meeting moves, AJ Preller's offseason, the Craig Kimbrels and the Matt Kemps, and it goes on and on and on, the Middlebrooks, right? But who cares? So,
like,
what?
At least
he sucked.
Ready for this? I respect Eric Hosmer because at least he has said in his now media career, he didn't get it done. He did not do well here. He's not blaming the media. At least I don't think he has. Maybe he has. I don't know. Not to this
extent. In real time, he probably did a little bit, but yeah.
Not to this extent. Like the after the fact, right?
Right.
It's so easy after the fact to be like, this was the reason why, this is the reason why. In the moment, you might be like, the fuck away from me, whatever. But I mean, this is like a decade later, John.
Yeah.
And Matt Kemp is sitting there saying that the reason why he sucked in San Diego essentially was because the media didn't hold him accountable.
He had an amazing line in there.
Break.
If you watch the whole clip, and you can find it Talking Friars on social media. If you watch the whole clip, he's like, I couldn't hit this out of a barn for 6 weeks and nobody would even come up to me in my locker. So he was saying like, I could get away with it. Like I could get away with not performing and that wasn't good for me, but it's not the media's responsibility to get you up. Like you got to get yourself up. Why is that freaking Kevin Acey's job?
I want to look up like former articles in the UT to see if there was like any critical article on Matt Kemp.
I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was, but nobody cared. Like you said, the Chargers are still here.
I don't know. It's just so stupid. It's, again, media's fault. Okay, cool, buddy.
It's the media's fault. Here's the thing. Who wants to make money? Everyone, raise your hand.
Underdog
Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, folks. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. It could not be easier. If you use promo code PODSWREP, PADSWREP, you'll get your 50% deposit match up to $250 of bonus cash, plus a free special pick just by using promo code PODSWREP. That's PADSWREP. NBA Finals finally kick off tomorrow. Simple higher or lower contesting. Jaylen Brown, higher than 5.5 first quarter points. And then you can play Major League Baseball, like the Padres back home tomorrow, for example. Padres taking on the Diamondbacks. Randy Vasquez, who knows what he's going to do. Let's say he allows fewer than 4.5 hits. I already had two other picks in here somehow. I can't seem to get them out of the system. But the point is, you can win up to 325 times your money in a single night. You can turn $10 into $1,000. You can turn $5 into $500. It's so simple and easy to play, and you can win, and you can get the $250 in bonus cash plus the free special pick. Use promo code PODSWREP, PADSWREP. Click the link in the description down below or scan the QR code. Did you play tonight, Jim?
No, I forgot.
I played twice and lost, and here's the problem. I had Dylan Cease going 6 1/3. He went 6. I needed 6 1/3. How many strikeouts did he have tonight?
6.
Yeah, I took the higher on like 6.5. Yeah. So I had Tatis over 1.5 total bases. He had like a million. But anyway, it's fun. You can play Padres pick'ems. Okay,
yeah, scan the QR code. Download the Padres or download the Underdog Fantasy app. Yeah, and use promo code PODSWREP when you sign up. Easy, it's fun to play, and go win some big-time money. A couple comments here in the chat, John. I think you're trolling. I think you're, like, it's JD's third. It says a ton about us that we are more upset with Matt Kemp for speaking his truth than this team being swept by the Angels.
That's it. These are different topics.
Different topics. Let's see here. Dino S5150 says, look how sensitive you guys are. You prove his point.
No, okay. Not really. We didn't, not written. How sensitive? No. We're just like, dude, how delusional do you have to be if you're Matt Kemp, if you think the media has any responsibility to you or your play is based on how the media treats you?
Yeah. I mean, can't say any better than that. I think it's just anytime that you think the media is to blame for how you play because they're not holding you accountable. Fuck, dude. You got bigger problems.
Yeah, again, players, having spent a lot of time around professional athletes, to, you know, minor league baseball, but professional athletes, like, just, it's a different world. I don't even know how to describe it. It's a completely different world that they are living in to the ones that you and I are living in and the one that fans are consuming from. It's a different world. So everyone's got their 2 cents. Matt Kemp, he's entitled to his opinion. I have no problem with him providing his opinion. I just think his opinion is wrong. You know, I mean, I really do. It's like, that's ridiculous. So, but Tony Gwynn hit in San Diego. Other people have performed.
Adrian Gonzalez hit in San Diego.
What? Fernando Tatis Jr. is both hit and not hit in San Diego. Does that have to do with the media?
Manny Machado's hit and not hit in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stupid. It's so stupid. Like, the media has nothing to do with the Padres not winning a World Series. It's everything to do with the organization.
Like, if you want to say, like, the media is not critical enough of the team or something,
but who cares?
But who cares? It doesn't matter. It had nothing to do with your play on the field.
You've heard the saying, Minnesota nice, right? Well, so what? Twins have won a World Series.
Yeah. They won what, 2?
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, they have, right. They've won. I mean everyone talks about
it. Matt Kemp was taken into bat. Do you think he's sitting there like, I hope fucking Kevin Acey rips me if I strike out? Like,
right. Maben said the same thing. I mean, Musical Human's right. Maben recently said the same thing. It absolutely has been like this little narrative or like through line recently. People have, like, I'm actually amazed we don't hear more of the opposite. Here's what shocks me. Why don't I hear more, including from this current team? You so rarely hear this. Why do I not hear more? Holy shit. I cannot believe there's 43,000 people here for Diamondbacks Padres Thursday night for a foam finger giveaway, where if this same game was being played on the north side, there'd be 11,000 people in Chicago.
They've already said it. Now, Schulte would like say the complete opposite because he thinks the sky is green when it's blue a lot of the times. But when this team got booed off the field when they got swept versus the Rockies, they acknowledged it. The team did. The players did. And they said, look, we deserve it. We deserve to get booed. We need to play better. And yeah, they deserve better. Like, it's the Cameron Maybins of the world and the Matt Kemps of the world. They were here, again, in a time where the Padres were such a distant second in sports fans' minds in this town that if you didn't win and if you didn't give the fans something to, like, pay attention to you, no one gave a shit.
Hey, how about this? How about this? You know those, what'd you say, the team, the talk of baseball, the Cleveland Guardians? They're drawing 22,000 fans a night. They're 40 and 20. They're giving something to people to talk about. Nobody cares. The Baltimore Orioles, coming off an amazing year, are 39 and 21. They're averaging 25,000 fans a game.
And you don't want to know what the number one story in Baltimore is right now?
Well, yeah, sure. Lamar Jackson losing weight.
And Lamar Jackson voluntarily missing OTAs and costing himself $750,000.
That proves my point of, like, the criticism of San Diego. Like, oh, they don't hold you accountable and their fans are too nice. The Padres are 32 and 33 and they're second in baseball in attendance. The Cleveland Guardians are 100-0 this year and nobody cares. So, like, this is a good market to play in, Cameron and freaking Matt.
Say what you want about anybody else. All I know is the John and Jim show has and will continue to hold this team accountable. And guess what? Whatever we say has no effect.
Yeah. The truth is, most Padres fans, I mean, I hate to say it because this is what we do, but I'm going to be brutally honest right now. Most Padres fans would prefer the opposite of what me and Jim do.
They would,
but we don't do it for clicks and likes.
No,
we're not doing it. If we were trying to get the lion's share of viewers, then we wouldn't be honest. Because the easy play is to just
go fanboy,
play it up. The easy play is to play it up because there's 50,000 people there every single night. Mm-hmm. So that's the easy play is to play it up. The harder, more like, in my opinion, what's harder to do is to be unbiased here and actually provide your honest opinion. Not to say we're always right, but to actually be like unbiased in covering the team, which is not what I think a majority of Padres fans would prefer, in my opinion, I think is the harder play. But it's not the play to the widest audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the widest audience is like, I mean, if we were just a 100% positive channel and show, and all we did was be positive and be like, it's okay, guys, they'll give them tomorrow. We'd probably, our show probably might be bigger. I don't know.
It'd probably be more. It probably would be.
Yeah, it probably would be. But, you know, when they lose and they lose like this, we tell you. And when they win, it's just,
this is a fair point. This is a fair point from AJ Preller. Thank you for joining us in such a challenging week for the team. But he says, I've seen Padres fans on Reddit criticize you guys for being too negative. It's like what people confuse sometimes is negativity with objective opinion, being critical. Being critical is not being negative. Critiquing is not inherently negative. If they were 40 and 20 like the Guardians, I'd be wearing parade t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because that would be my opinion on how to plan. I'm saying nobody can beat this team. This is the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
And let's hope they can do it.
If the team was 40 and 20 right now, and every day we came on the radio or like the wrap up show, and we were like coming from a negative standpoint every game, like, well, they won last night, but wasn't good enough. I mean, Manny's not doing this. He's not doing that. Like, this guy's not, this reliever sucks. They won 7-2. But still, like, this reliever gave up two runs in that inning, and Manny went 0-for-4. That's fully – I would be like, yeah, they're probably right. But, you know, the Padres Facebook crowd of the world and the Reddit crowd of the world, like, if you want just, like, again, the sunshine and rainbows and the fanboy perspective, that's not – we're not it.
Right. I want to give people with what I think is better content for fans is true, honest critique. That's what I think is better for the fans. Therefore, and Jim feels the same way. Therefore, that's what we do. And if people want it, they know where to find it. If they don't, they know where to find the, you know, the 180 of that.
Maria says, I love how John and Jim are totally spinning what Matt Kemp said and are totally misinterpreting it because they're such stands. They can't stand anyone in criticizing the organization.
Have you ever watched the channel for more than 2 seconds? Great. So you're a Dodger fan? I don't even understand this. We just spent the last hour telling you how everyone thinks we're too critical of the Padres organization, and you think we can't criticize the organization? It's all we've done for our careers. See, that's where it gets interesting, too. We'll get criticized on both sides.
Yeah, that's fine. And if you're a Dodgers fan, how is that loss tonight to the Pittsburgh Pirates? Your team's in a
again,
kind of
Dodger
spiral.
Dodger fans come in and try to find any angle they can attack that's like anti-Dodger, which it's not. Like, does this Matt Kemp conversation have anything to do with the Dodgers that we were just having?
I mean, if you're a Dodgers fan, how does it feel to have the only World Series in the last 30 years be a fake Mickey Mouse World Series that nobody will ever remember?
And
a team that will always be made fun of for winning the one World Series in the last 30 years in a fake 60 game season.
Dude, they didn't even have like a parade.
No parade. Because guess what? Nobody will ever remember it. And you guys as a franchise are still looking for that first real World Series in 30 plus years. And if you want to come back with the Padres fine.
Never won one.
Oh yet. Shit. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. The Dodgers have all, yeah. I mean, are the Dodgers even a favorite to win the World Series this year with the way that they're playing? They're not the favorite. They entered the season as the favorite. They're no longer the favorite. I can promise you that. We'll see what happens. Maria, are you related? Are you Matt Kemp potentially in the chat under the name Maria G?
Before we get to Aura, or fuck it, this gets Aura.
Let's get to Aura. If you want to get healthier, if you want to support the channel, if your name isn't Maria G, check out Aura. All right. Their co-founder, Will, is a huge fan of the channel. He's been with us for like 3 years.
Yeah.
It's an amazing company. All plant-based products, all plant-based supplements. All right. Whether it's the probiotic, I take it every day. I have for like 2.5 years. It's an amazing product for digestion, heart health, mental clarity, which we need doing this show. They have pre-workout supplements that are plant-based. They have proteins for after workouts, plant-based. Omega-3 oils. Forget about the fish oil. Get the same health benefit with the omega-3 oil. They have sleep pills, immunity pills, and more. Check them out at ora.organic or click the link in the description down below. They've got that free shipping offer going on as well. So they got something for everyone. If you support the channel, San Diego company, offices in Liberty Station, Will, lifelong Padres fan, native San Diegan, co-founder of the company. If you support Aura, if you support the channel, check out Aura, get healthier, ora.organic.
Yeah, they have everything you need to live a healthy lifestyle. If you crave that healthy lifestyle and are looking to get some supplements to start that journey, Aura is the place to go. www.ora.organic. Pick up some supplements and you'll thank us later.
Okay, where were you going with your you were going somewhere.
I don't care anymore.
Okay. JD Gaucho. Oh, let's get to college baseball. Let's
The mood. Let's go.
Thank you, JD Gaucho. He says, some applause for Point Loma. Yeah, their season's over. They lost in the Division II World Series. They lost to IUP. That's Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Jim.
I did not know that.
Aaron's dad played them in football. Sea Lions finished the season 46-13-1. Two college World Series trips in the last 3 years. Yeah, that's super impressive. It really is. That's super impressive. So congratulations to the Sea Lions on another successful season.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I like that.
RS says, John and Jim, how did you guys meet / team up? We met at a Padres game.
Oh, it was kind of love at first sight.
If anybody remembers.
Are you talking about you and Aaron or me and you?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about me and you.
We
do. You remember?
Do you remember? I don't remember the specific moment.
I do. Because it's such a weird moment. It was, so I was working over at Odyssey, and you were Mark and Rich's producer, and you, me, and Scraby were at the game, but we like didn't go together. We're just there. And during the middle of the game, a foul ball went into some chick's beer glass.
Oh, yeah, I still follow her on Instagram.
And I mean, the team was nothing interesting at all. Like, the team sucked.
We hadn't met before that night?
No, the only interesting part about this game was this woman chugging her beer with the baseball in her glass or in her cup.
And some of you guys have to remember that. That was like a viral moment.
Yeah, and she like was on bar stool, like everything, because obviously she was good looking, and it was like, it just became this thing that
kind of pretty blew dope. Up. She like immediately chugged it.
Right. And so I'm looking for content for this website that I'm doing for, you know, Odyssey. And so immediately I go over there to try to like get a quick interview with her. And then I remember John coming over there and like, you were
trying to do the same thing for Mark and Rich, I think.
Yeah. Cause I think didn't Mark like text you?
Yeah. He's like, you try to get her on the show. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And so like we met, we talked for a bit, and that was the first time we met.
That's
and
crazy.
Then when I went back to iHeart, you're the first person I saw. You're like, what are you doing here?
But we had talked between that night of the foul ball girl and you coming back to iHeart, because I used to go in the press box more. We weren't doing the wrap up show, and I would see you, and I knew who you were and you knew who I was at that point, I think.
Right. And then the pandemic hit and we're like, hey, do you want to like do a post game show?
And yeah, that's a whole other story.
Because we had nothing to do. And
we had nothing going on. I'm trying to find this chick, and I could find the actual video if I find her. But because I still follow her somehow.
Dude, that wrap-up show that we did on the radio in 2020, holy moly.
That was a lot. But that was fun because they were good, and there was nothing going on.
Right. Even though it was fake, it was just like something to keep it occupied.
Remember the trade deadline show we did? Remember the trade deadline? Yeah, like it was like Mother's Day or Father's Day or Sunday. Remember that? We stayed on the air for like hours because they were interested in
Clevenger. They made a trade for Clevenger, remember?
Yeah, we were on the air for hours that day.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people that watched this show live or on replay listened on the radio in 2020 and 2021.
Well, I know Dave watches us. Dave/Kevin watches us, and he was there. I had the big blow up on Pagan. No, that was 2021. Sorry,
yeah, right? 2021. Yeah,
not 2020. 2021 is when we still did the wrap up show on the radio in 2021 for a full 162 games. What were we thinking?
We changed it a little bit. We did like a little. I mean, in the 60 game season, we truly did all 60. That was freaking crazy.
Every game,
and then the 162 season, we definitely took Saturdays off. I think we did Monday through Friday.
Still, even then,
it was a ton. It's a ton. Those games drive in.
The times of the games were still like, what, 7:10 first pitch, 7:15?
Yeah. Yeah, and the games were long. There was no pitch clock.
Man, dude.
We did a couple shows. We came on the air past midnight a few times on the radio.
Like, we were on the air until like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, and like driving home like 2 in the morning. It was a pretty bad idea.
Remember that Tingler extra inning game where he like made those horrible double switches?
Yeah, well, he didn't. Yeah, he double switched himself out of the DH spot where a pitcher had to hit every second inning or whatever. Yeah.
Dude, what were we thinking? Leon says, I was stoked when you finally brought the show to YouTube. Your first couple of shows on this channel are a trip.
Shows, man. Can we pull one up? It's so embarrassing.
I don't want to do that.
I know you don't. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me just look. I'm going to look and laugh myself.
You're like, you're like in our studio and you're like, hello, everybody. Welcome to the wrap up show. John Schaefer here along with Jim Russell.
Dude,
we are now on YouTube. And I'm like, yeah.
Dude,
I'm
just, we are a broken record. Like our second show is it time for AJ Preller to go?
Oh my God, dude.
Dude, hold on.
Time is a flat circle.
Time is a...
Nothing's changed.
Hold on. Hold the F on.
Oh my God. What are we doing? Make it bigger. Make it bigger.
I don't know how. You know me. I'm bad with the internet.
Just hit that. Like, there you go.
Like, there's going to be a lot of
in all of my like
wearing the internet same shirt. Weeks for the So the question really today, as the season is essentially over in terms of hopes and dreams of getting to the postseason, I mean the Padres are 5 out now with 12 to play. I think it's a fair question, and I know it's been asked, and we've been critical of AJ Preller on the wrap-up show on Extra 13-6. Let's throw it out. Does AJ Preller deserve another season in 2022 based on the body of work, Jim, from 2015 until 2021? We know there have been highs like 2020. There have been lows. Like what has happened this year on field where this team may not even finish 500 somehow. So let's start with that question. Does he deserve another year?
I honestly, it's hard to make an argument for him for another season because of all the moves that he has made.
Enough of this.
Oh, my God. I mean, mine's not as bad. It's still bad, but John, what were you doing?
I don't know.
So funny. Same topic still being discussed 3 years later.
John, I used to be older. LOL.
Actually, that was not my garage. That was my house with my ex-girlfriend.
I don't even remember that. I don't even remember anything.
Holy shit.
I mean, I kind of do.
Now I'm married.
That's Spicy Mayo. What's up, man? Thank you. Okay, here we go. I like this perspective. He's a Dodger fan. As a Dodger fan, I like tuning to your show because it doesn't try to be super formal or polished like TV. Laid back but insightful. Enjoy what y'all do. Thank you, man. Seriously. Thank you. Appreciate you saying that. It's way different. I mean, our radio show is different than our wrap-up show. Like radio, you're kind of paid to like do a show. Like, we have to do a show. We can't just get up and look at records or whatever we do half the time.
Right.
But yeah, this is more late back. It's late at night. You know, you're doing it. It's 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's a different feel.
Yeah. We try to have that feel on John and Jim. It's just harder because it's like terrestrial radio and there's like legit ads we have to get to. And we can't just sit here and just laugh for 20. Like, you know, we could, but I don't know. I feel like this show is more laid back. John and Jim is laid back, but with more of structure.
Why don't you go in and just grill the players every day?
And I can just come on here and say, fuck this team.
Well, you know the reason, Margie, because every day after the game, we do this.
What is she saying? Or what is this person saying?
Oh, the person said, why don't you go into the clubhouse and grill the team every night, like Marty?
I don't have a credential.
Well, that's the other thing.
And by the way, I live in Imperial Beach. John lives in Del Mar. Okay. John has a son and a wife. I have a wife now. It's kind of hard. And it's not like we're getting paid to do it either. Like, no one's paying us to go inside the clubhouse.
I don't understand. Hold on. Ballpark pretzel. Oh, what do you got?
Top five greatest wrap-up show moments. Drunk Jim, number one. Angry Richard Simmons. John couldn't get the mic working. Jim at AutoZone. Rally Roach. Dude, I don't know if I told the story. The house that me and Aaron lived at before the house we moved into and the Rally Roach, bro, that house was...
I know. It was like disgusting.
It had infested. dead rats up in the attic, and we didn't know about it. And so we had blood flies in the house, and we're like, why are there so many flies? And then we had infestation of cockroaches all throughout the house, to the point where when we cleaned out that place before we moved, there was cockroach poop all in our, like, around our food. And Aaron got like really sick. And we're like, holy shit, no wonder.
Yeah, you want to know why?
We were living in hell.
How did you like do that?
I do think that's also one of the causes of my kidney stone, or like my infection with my kidney, because
what?
Yeah. because I think that she was so sick that there's no way that I wasn't also somewhat sick as well.
Afida.
Oh my God. Remember that? The person's like, hey, I just found your channel. Afida.
We couldn't like, that was your dig. How about the bird? I did a whole show for those that weren't, I did a whole show right here from this table.
And a bird was right there.
There was a bird, a living freaking baby bird, like that you could put in your hand. And when I was like about to sign off, I remember that I heard something. I'm like, Jim, what's tweeting?
She's like, burr, 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 burr.
And I look behind I'm like looking behind my camera like this. And I'm like, dude, I think there's a bird on my table. I'm like, should I wait? Remember, I'm like, should I wake Kristen? Like, no.
Just get the bird out of your house.
I ended up waking Kristen, remember? And I put the bird in a shoebox. After like 2 hours of contemplation, what do I do? This bird that was, by the way, the size of this AirPod container.
Little tiny bird.
The bird, man.
I got nothing else. What?
Exactly. I don't know what we're doing with our lives.
Yeah. Just watch yesterday or 2 nights ago.
What happened? I forget. What were we laughing at?
We were telling radio stories.
Oh yeah. It was ridiculous. Did you see someone put on social media? I forget who it was. Someone of some familiar name was like, I was like passed out in bed with like my AirPods on. And then I heard you guys like hysterically laughing and I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck happened? And I went back and like figured it out.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I forget who it was.
The 3 a.m. show where you're like sleeping. And I'm like, what are we doing?
That was just a couple months ago in Korea. That was just a bad idea.
Yeah.
I was in Spokane for that.
I know.
Drunk Jim, that was the old days, man. When you would like go out like partying.
Yeah, I'd get out of my system before like the married life.
True. Oh yeah, dude, this happened constantly, Carlos. Sullivan like just digging on the wood.
You're like, Sully, stop it.
Dude, he would like constantly be digging on the wood. Not an issue anymore since he's no longer living, sadly.
Me and AutoZone. That was so bad because I couldn't do the wrap-up show in our room because Aaron was sleeping. I couldn't do the wrap-up show in the living room like I normally did because there was someone staying on our couch that night. And so I went to my car and no one could see me. And we lived right across the street from an AutoZone.
Weren't you being weren't people like, there was like a homeless guy like following you or something.
There was a homeless guy looking at me like, what are you doing? And I think some lady was around the corner like taking a piss on like a bush or something. Dude, it was bad.
Awesome.
Dude.
Richard, thank you. He says this is a Dodger. Everyone, is anyone here actually root for the San Diego Padres?
Are we doing a Padres channel with all Dodgers fans?
Can I get a raise hand emoji if you're here and you root for the San Diego Padres? But Richard's a longtime viewer. He says, as a Dodger fan, I'm simply here because I enjoy the show. I sincerely hope that I am proof not all LA fans are trolls. And that's fair. You can't lump everyone into one.
No, like one. Mark Vianesti, who is a good listener, a good friend of the show. Like,
no, Richard's a longtime viewer and supporter. We appreciate
it. I hate the Dodgers, but there's always all Dodger fans.
Right, exactly. Dodger fans that root for like,
holy shit, there's like one, two, it's like 50 Dodger fans here.
No, no, they're raising their hands and they're Padres fans, right?
Not Rubber Toe or Damon.
Put in the chat right now, who do you root for? Just put the name of the team. Padres, Dodgers, Phillies,
right.
Real Madrid. I mean, who do you root for?
It's like, I root for the Guardians, chat. But I think your channel's funny.
You're right, exactly. Johnny.
Another Dodger fan. Jeez, dude. Got a Giants fan. Okay.
Aztecs.
Dodger fan. Lord. Jeez, dude. Angel fan now.
LG Twins. All right. That's going to do it for tonight.
I got nothing else.
Savannah Bananas, dude. That's like a phenomenon is what it is.
We should do a Savannah Banana wrap-up show.
Wrap-up. Like, dude, they won again.
Like, they keep winning.
They beat the party. I forget the team they play every game. It's like the Washington Generals of the party something.
Like, that third inning TikTok dance they did was amazing.
It was incredible.
The choreography is great.
And they do that. No joke, though. They're playing games in front of like 30, 40,000 people.
How are you a Dodger and Padres fan?
Yeah, Temu Maki. And he's been a loyal viewer here over the last month or so. Okay, let's get to this. Alejandro, thank you. Before we get out of here, if you want to get a super in before we get out of here, you can do it. Like Alejandro says, was that the game tonight? What an embarrassment. It kind of was. Party Animals, by the way, is the name of the team they play.
Oh, nice.
It was kind of embarrassing. Over 162, there's embarrassing nights. It just feels like it's not a – you can't get swept by the Angels. What did we say today? We're like, they're going to win 9-1.
I know. We jinxed the fuck out of them.
We really did.
But I truly believed I'm like 7-2 victory.
I believe it too. Dude, like, I didn't start think, the game, like base hit. I'm like, they're going to score 5 runs here. Then they're like,
I didn't think Dylan Cease would give up 2 home runs. Manny would leave for an injury and the team would only score twice.
The only reason they scored twice is because the Angels defense, truthfully.
I know.
All right,
8-11 series, though.
8-11 series. We're over those 11 series. They're like a game under 500.
I know.
Because they've been swept in 2 of them.
True.
All right, guys. We're here for you. So subscribe. If you're a baseball fan, if you're looking for more Padres talk, you can. Well, hold on. JD Gacha, thank you. Let's college baseball. It's a wrap up show.
Start a college baseball channel for JD Gacha.
JD Gacha, you honestly should start one. You could freaking be.
You know everything about college baseball.
I know. He could be making money. He says, John, no California teams in the Super Regionals for the first time since the NCAA tournament expanded to 64 teams in 99. 1 year fluke or a bad sign? I don't know.
I got nothing for you, man.
California's obviously loaded with college baseball history, a lot of Big West, but I can't speak to that. I really have no idea. Here's what I will say, JD Gacho, not that anyone's here for it. All college athletics is tilting towards like SEC Big Ten, as we know. So, I mean, SEC is just going to, you know, SEC baseball is dominant. So that's where we are. That's my breakdown. You like that?
Yeah,
you did. All right. Can we get some subscribers out of this tonight? Please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you to all of our viewers and our partners. Please support our partners. We can't do this without their support. So if you want these shows each and every day, support them. Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, if you have an insurance need. Finn Lee, we told you about their first athlete, Ashedri Vargas. Check him out. Click the link in the description down below. Play Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code PODSRAP, PADSWRAP. Get a 50% deposit match, up to $250 of bonus cash, plus a free special pick. Scan that QR code or click the link in the description down below and get healthier with Aura by going to ORA.organic. All right, guys. This was fun. For Jim, I'm John. We'll see you tomorrow. 3 p.m. What are we? San Diego Sports 760. Talking about the big D-back series.
Yeah. Find the John and Jim show on YouTube.
Oh, here we go.
Subscribe. It's basically the wrap-up show, but 2.0.
But for 3 hours.
For 3 hours.
Sometimes we talk about other things like Christian McCaffrey or like Draymond Green.
Or like NBA and stuff, because like the finals are going on tomorrow.
Right. And the Aztecs.
Yeah. A lot of Aztecs. So
a lot of Aztecs.
Peace out. Bye.
If you like bracketology, swing by. All right. Oh, peace.
You just ruined it.
I know.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.